time limitation now. So here we go. So we've been talking about prayer. And I trust that you're excited because as our prayer life grows, so we're going to see the power of God start to move in a whole different dimension. And I don't know whether you're excited about that, but I want to see that. So it's great praying, and it's great praying at the levels that we have been praying, but I believe that God wants to up the game. And there's just too much to go over to where we are now, but we've basically been speaking about the importance of relationship, the importance of obeying God when He speaks. And we were going to speak a little bit about Holy Spirit last week, but I'm going to delay that one because I'm really trusting for God to do something when we do that. Okay, so I want to talk tonight on the different kinds of prayer. We'll start tonight. And in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, and it says this, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. So that immediately, if I understand English correctly, it says that there's more than one way to kind of pray. And that there's different things that we need, different things we need to exercise when we're praying. It says this, with this in mind, be alert and always keeping on praying for all of the Lord's people. So in other words, we should be carrying people in our heart all the time. So prayer should become something that we are almost doing constantly. Okay? Then Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. He says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all goodness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, and who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So we saw this week the opening of the Olympics and how publicly they have discredited who God is. But here's the deal. God never loses. You can say whatever you want on a public stage. Now, it's very interesting. I think it was 24 hours later, there was a complete power out in Paris. It's just a little signal. You pushed the wrong button. And so you need to understand that that is why we as the church are here, because we are going to bring the light of God into a situation. They're using world stages and all that kind of stuff, and that's fine. But we have the highest stage that we call upon. We have the highest name that we call upon. And God will not be mocked. You don't have to defend Him. He defends Himself. But we as His children, I think it's time to cry out. So we've been given many weapons of warfare to fight in certain things. And I'm not too sure if you have seen, so Joel loves Second World War stuff and the tanks and everything else. And if you take note, and if you had done a, kind of like a study, the difference in our weaponry from Second World War to now is like night and day. Where in the Second World War, there's a lot of a kind of like a hit and miss situation, and hope that you hit more than you miss. Today, they can put something in an aircraft, take it up to 10,000 feet, and they can drop it into the chimney of a house. So don't make enemies of the wrong people, because they can hurt you. So now the point I'm trying to make there is that we maybe need to move from shotgun kind of prayers to laser kind of prayers, where we focus in on something. I started the whole thing on talking out of 1 Kings 17, where Elijah goes and he challenges Ahab, who was serving Baal, and he declares that there's going to be a drought. And the Baal was the god that they looked to that supplied the rain for the harvests. And so he just nails the spirit right in the chest. And he takes it out. And he speaks a drought over the place. And I want to tell you that that's the kind of people that I believe God is wanting to raise up in this time that we're living in. That we will not be scared. Now, we need to be wise in it. Don't just go and play in areas that you are not accustomed to. But we need to be getting to a place where we start to address things in the heavenlies. Because when you change the things in the heavenlies, things on earth change. You can say amen, but it's okay. So, Here's a question. I was watching a YouTube video of a tornado that was about to hit, I think it was the Philippines. And you could hear the Christians praying as they were, you watched this little funnel hit the ground and it was starting to come. It wasn't very clear because it was about 10 years ago. But I want to ask you, how would you pray if a tornado was coming your way? You see, because I when I read the word, I hear about words like the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. We need to up the game. There needs to be a desperation on the inside of us that when we're crying out, we know that there's a God who hears, and we know He's a God that answers. Ronald Bonker. Again, when you kind of like push some people's names, you're not too sure what reaction you're going to get, but I'm going to use the illustration. He started off his whole evangelistic crusade in Lesotho. So we lived in Ladybrand, which was pretty close to there. It was in the 1980s somewhere, I think it was. He had an 800-seater tent that he still was doing a crusade. And if you've ever been to Lesotho in the mountains there, the wind is wild. And anyway, this wind started to come up and it was going to rip the tent to pieces. And so Ronald Bonker goes out there and he says, "Devil, if you destroy this tent, I will build a bigger one." And he goes back inside and he senses God challenge him, "Why did you make a deal with the devil?" So he goes outside and he says, "Devil, I'm going to build a bigger one anyway." Well, the storm split and the tent stood. And in 1984, he came to Harare when I was still living in Zimbabwe, and he came with a 30,000-seater tent as he started to move up Africa with all the crusades. So I'm just saying to you that there comes something inside us that really needs to start to understand the power of God, that God wants to work through us as His people. So I want to give you an illustration of us in 2017, living in Lady Brand. So what happened was, all of a sudden I need to be careful what I use that lands up on everybody listening to the stuff. People that like to take what doesn't belong to them. Those people. So there was a couple of those kind of gangster people that were moving out of Johannesburg at nighttime, coming, hitting the small towns, and then going back to Joburg. So when the sun rose again, they weren't anywhere near. They were back at home again. And all of a sudden, Lady Brand got a serious whack from this, where it was almost on a daily basis. They were breaking into people's houses. It was getting quite violent. People were getting shot. And so what we did is we said, no, forget this. I believe the church, when God puts a church in a place, He puts it there because He wants that to be His arm that will work in that place. I believe that. And so we put a whole week of prayer and fasting together as a church. And at the end of that week, when I spoke to the police commissioner the next week, in that week there had not been any incidences in Lady Brand at all. Was that a coincidence? No. And there was it stopped. In fact, in that week they had arrested three people. They managed to catch them. Three people that they arrested. So I'm trying to tell us tonight that there's power in prayer. And we need to understand that. In Psalm 77:13, it says, "Your way, O Lord, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the people." In other words, what God is saying over here, what I do is not a secret. He's declared His strength amongst His people. So I want to touch on just one of the first things of prayer. And you might think this is crazy. But the first kind of prayer is a prayer of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. In 1 Timothy 2, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all people. For kings and for all those in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. I want to tell you that not everybody in authority is a godly person. But God calls us to pray for them. He calls us that they would have an encounter with God, that they would be influenced so that they would not be hearing the other voices that would bring corruption and wrong decision-making, but that it would be influenced by the godly voices around them. I believe that. In Psalm 140, verse 13, it says, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence." You see, if you and I are not in his presence, then we're not going to see the good things that are going to come out of these things. And so remember the first thing I said about prayer life is about a relationship. Why? Because it's about believing and receiving. And so we need to be building that relationship. And so he's saying over here, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence." We need to be walking with Jesus all the time. Now, one of the Hebrew words for praise is todah. And it has two meanings: to thank God or someone for something. To thank God for someone or something. And then the other one is used for praise or the sacrifice of praise by worshippers. Now, it's very interesting that in the New Testament, Paul uses the Greek word eucharistia, which means gratitude, thankfulness, or thanksgiving. So thanksgiving plays a big role in our prayer life. Give thanks. Give thanks. I want to ask you, has God done something for you this week that's just passed? Has he done something for you? You're not sure? Who said that? You're still here. You're still here. That's a big deal. All the storms that has hit you and you're still standing, he is good to you. Have you noticed that the world, hasn't run out of oxygen that you and I desperately need? Because without that, we're not. With all the cutting of trees that are going on in all the world, we've not run out of oxygen yet. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Now, there's lots of other things that might not have fallen into place how I would have liked them to fall into place. And there may be some things that I'm still fighting right now. But I'm telling you, there is a lot of things that we need to learn to be thankful for. And giving thanks acknowledges what God has done, not overlooking it. I want you to hold on to this thing because this thing's going to get close to home just now. Just asking and never thanking does not build a relationship. I'm going to say that again. Just asking and never thanking doesn't build a relationship. Father God wants to be thanked. It's very interesting. You might think, you know what, God's kind of like got a real self-image problem. You know, he wants us to praise him. You know what? He's not asking us to praise him for his benefit. He's asking us to praise him for our benefit. The reason why he does these is because he's given us a tool in our hands to be able to walk in victory, to get victory, to be able to get his... Psalm 61, put on the garment of praise. When? For the spirit of heaviness. How many of you kind of like sense there was a heaviness tonight? How do you break that thing? You put on the garment of praise. You put on the garment of praise. You break that thing. You don't bow to it. You smash that thing. You make the name of Jesus bigger than what you and I feel. See, faith, that's talking about faith in action. We want to thank. When we thank, we bring honor. We bring honor. When we thank, we're acknowledging our dependency on him, acknowledging him as our source. In Philippians 1:15, Paul says this, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, did not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Paul is saying, man, I was so excited to hear that you are running the race in your play, in your area of the woods, and I was thanking God for you. He says in Hebrews 13:15, therefore by him, talking about Jesus, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, how many of you have seen that my emotional state sometimes makes it very difficult to be able to do this? And that's where we have to make the decision. That I'm not going to obey my emotional state. I'm going to obey what God has called me to do. There's many times in my life I have not felt like praising at all. And then I'll say, but you know that this is the only way out of this. And then you put it on and you put music on and then you put it so loud so that you can kind of like drown out everything else that's kind of like messing in your head. And you make that thing louder. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all circumstances. That is not saying give thanks for the evil that's happening or the wrong that's going on. No, he's saying give thanks to him because he's the answer. And I'm vocalizing he is the answer. When the devil's putting pressure on my life, I am vocalizing, God, you're still my answer. I'm trusting in you with all my heart and not my head, because my head is telling me something different right now, but my heart is going to give you praise. So, question, what is thankfulness? It's an attitude of heart. It's actually love and appreciation in action. In 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, listen to this. This is the, okay, so we're going to get quite close to home now. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love his brother and sister. And so we understand that. So the principle that we get out of there is everything that I declare this way must be seen that way. Are you there? I love God, then I must be loving my brother and my sister. I'm excited, then I must be excited. I am forgiven. Okay. So cool. So Joel, kind of like doing maths and all that kind of stuff, and when you get to the fractions and whatever, they have the cross cancellation thing. So whatever you do to the top, you've got to do to the bottom, and whatever you do to the bottom, you've got to do to the top. Good. You see now, we all went to school. So I want to talk to the moms, the ladies in the house, and I know it's not all like this, but let me just talk to the ladies quickly. Ladies, I want to set a scenario. The scenario is you're living in a house, your husband and your kids don't appreciate what you do. Don't laugh so loud, please. Hypothetic, yeah. Just thank you, Carl. Otherwise, we're going to cause haste molest over here or something. How excited do you become? Very excited. In fact, I think if you had to go into the houses, you see there's half broomsticks, not full broomsticks anymore, because somebody got dish. So, ladies, when with that kind of with that kind of unthankfulness, how excited are you to serve at the next meal? At least I've got you talking now. Just now you were so quiet. It's like the audience had left. So here's the deal. If that's, remember, the principle is what we have this way, we need to do that way. So the principle is here, is that when people do things for you, we teach our children, it is manners to say. I think some of us have lost our manners. Just a state, just a thought. Just a thought. I know the Bible says that we need to serve. But when I just expect people to serve me, I think something's gone wrong. And if I just shout and I expect everybody to bounce, you know what? It needs to be the willingness of the heart. I think this is what makes this thing healthy. But when I move across the line where it's just an expectation, and then when people do things for others, it costs them something. It costs them their time. It costs them their energy. They could have been doing maybe something else, but they stopped doing that so they could help you. And I think that there's something in us that we are... No, let's stop right there. Don't go any further there. We need to appreciate each other more. And remember this. God uses people to bless us. So we always thank God for the blessing. But we better thank the people that He used as well. Is this okay? I love the family thing, so we can have a family talk every now and then. And in Psalm 100 verse 4, it says, I will enter His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. That is the starting point. When you want something, I will enter, comes from thankfulness. I don't know about you, but I am very grateful that I got saved. I am so grateful that He pushed past all the things that I did do and He didn't chuck me out. He overlooked those things and kept on pursuing me. And I am so grateful for those moments that He did that. You need to catch this. Now I've just moved the wrong thing over here. You need to catch this. Thankfulness does not change the giver, it changes the receiver. I'll put it into context. I don't think our children understand the sacrifices we have made for them. They don't. And you know what? I'm sure that somewhere along the line, our kids have not been grateful for what we have done, because they don't know. But as parents, we will always keep doing that. Right? So what happens is, when the penny goes ka-dang in the payphone, it's not the giver that changes, it's the receiver that changes. And when I become thankful, it changes me. So here's the deal. When the source of food that comes into your house stops, it's amazing how the receiver changes. And all of a sudden we learn that word, thank you. You've become quiet all of a sudden. So remember, the whole thing is what we have vertically must be seen horizontally. Now I'm really going to crop where maybe it shouldn't be cropped. So when was the last time you and I said thank you to our boss for our salary? Oh, but do you know how many hours I worked for him? Yeah, but you've got a job. There were many other people that could have got your position or post that you're doing right now. And are you thankful that he picked you? And so therefore, every time I get a salary, it should be, sir, ma'am, whoever you are, thank you. Thank you. Woo, we're getting quiet now. Okay, let's leave that one. Have you ever said thank you to your boss for the privilege of working in the company. Oh, you don't understand my boss, boy. I'm telling you, he's like a toss boy. You know what? Be thankful. In everything, the Bible says, be thankful. It doesn't talk. Ephesians says, children, honor your parents. Does it say when they're doing right? No. It says, children, honor your parents, whether they're right or whether they're wrong. You honor them. That's your responsibility. God's responsibility is on the other side. But he works when you and I are doing those things. Ooh, let's come even closer to home. We're in a church environment. Most of the things that happen here at church are via volunteers. Do you know what a volunteer is? Somebody who chooses the free will with no financial remuneration chooses to come and serve and do stuff. When is the last time we said thank you? Have we said thank you to the kids' church for what an amazing job they're doing? And all the teachers. Ooh, it's got quiet here now. Have we ever said thank you to the deacons and the comms that make sure everything is good on a Sunday? Have we said thank you to the guys that work behind that coffee shop that make such lack of coffee? Have we said thank you to the worship team for the effort and the time that they put in to preparing so that when we come here on Sunday, there's a platform that God uses to be able to speak to us? Every time you've heard the word, whoever you've heard it from, and it's inspired something inside you, have you ever gone and said thank you? Okay, that wasn't aimed at me, but if we have guest speakers, and that we, which we do we ever say thank you? Because every time we hear the word, some sort of truth is hitting us that is causing us to walk in a different level of knowing God and a different level of walking in righteousness and godliness and understanding who we are. Therefore, our lives are getting better all the time. Have we ever done it? When is the last time? When is the last time we said thank you to people that sit with us, counsel us, encourage us, calm leaders that love us? So after mentioning all that, if thanksgiving is one of the key things in our prayer life, can I ask us as a church, can we become thankful this way? And I'm as guilty as you are. So therefore, I'm preaching to myself right now. Okay, so that wasn't supposed to put you in the doldrums. That was just supposed to kind of like help us a little bit. Jesus made a powerful statement in Matthew 10:40. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes. Okay. Jesus, not me as in me, but Jesus speaking. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. So here's the deal. Every gift that we get encountered with is a gift from God, and the way we receive that gift is how we receive Jesus. And how we receive Jesus tells us how we receive the Father. I'm going to come to land. So in my Christian life, this is what I've experienced. Thankfulness strengthens and builds my faith. It builds my faith. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. I've still got these other big mountains under me, but thank you for what you have done. You have showed me that you're a faithful God. You've showed me that you hear me. You've showed me that you never leave me nor forsake me. You've showed me that your arm is not too short. You've showed me that your eyes are roaming to and fro to show yourself strong on our behalf. You showed me that. Thank you. It prepares an atmosphere for miracles. When I come, thankfulness, it's amazing how all of a sudden, I don't come, Lord, bless, how can I bless me? It's, Lord, how can you work through me? You've done so much for me. How can I just be a vessel that now all of a sudden I can be a channel to touch somebody else? prepares an atmosphere. And also it causes me to focus on the Lord and what He has done and what He can do. How many of you have said that God is a big God? You said that? Do you believe that? He's a big God. That's it. He is. He is. The Bible says, it tells us, there's nothing's impossible to them that believe. So remember this. He's not wanting us to thank Him for all the evil that's happening. But what He was asking us is that we would thank Him that when the enemy has come with everything that they can to destroy us, that God will make a way in that thing and His name would be glorified. That He's still a good, good God. I can't remember where the address of that scripture is. It says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord has raised up a standard as His blood. When the enemy comes in like a flood, how many of you felt that a little bit lately? Wants the bulldozer over us. You see, thankfulness reminds me of how big the Lord is. It reminds me to appreciate what I do have. What I do have. I might not have. Like that video of the Maseratis and the whatever that was standing there, and the guy in the back seat saying, you know, talk to my mind and da da. I don't have that, but I have a lot of stuff. I have a family that's just amazing. You have a family too. He has blessed you. He has looked after us. If it wasn't for Him, I wonder where we'd be. Do you know what? If I look at my life, I should have been in the drain. But the mercy of God. The mercy of God. And every single one of us should have been in the drain. But the mercy of God. So we're being thankful. Thankfulness makes me strong to handle the challenges I'm in. Thankfulness. Thankfulness. Worship team, can I ask you to come? We're going to sing one song of just thankfulness to the Lord.